Okay. Yeah. So we'll start off. We'll go through the order of how the sefer does it. We're going to start with Peot Harosh. The original pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim is talking, saying that it says it has both the isur for Peot Harosh and Peot Zakan in the same pasuk. So it starts off by saying that Lo takifu Peot Harosh, so you can't round the corners of your head. And then it says on top of that, "V'lo tashchit et peat zeknecha," and you can't destroy the corners of your face. So there's a chiluk between the two. One helps us understand the other better. So it'll help us to understand both by having that comparison. So the biggest question that really comes up is that if you look in the Gemara in Makot, it's a proper venue, it's Sfaradi. So in Masechet Makot, it's not Rashi at that point. Rashi is only there for the first about 15 dafim. So it's the Rivan, it's his grandson that comes in instead, grandson or son-in-law, okay, one of them, and he comes in instead, and he says that the makom at the bottom, everyone, right? You're going to a barber, even if you don't know the halacha, everyone knows. Oh, you go to the barber, you say, oh, to the bone, right? So the Rivan says that the makom peyot, it ends where lemata min haozen, at the bottom of the ear, makom shealechi, where the jaw hatachton yotzei umfarad sham. So you have it that it's the place where the jaw comes out of the head at the bottom of the ear. The problem is the jawbone starts all the way at the bone. When we talk about the bone, it's called the zygomatic arch. That's the anatomical name. So the bone is what the Ravan is talking about. But then he says tachatozen, at the bottom of the ear, which is not the same place, right? So that's where all the confusion comes in, and that's where all the problems start from. It's pretty easy to say. That's why the Gushnikim, they want to be yotzei with all the different shitot. So that's why you'll see them doing it to the bottom of the earlobe, because they're trying to get in all the different shitos. If you do it to the bottom of the ear, okay, it covers everything else. Mazel tov. So that's why they do that. Then you have Rav Shechter and Imri Osher, who say no, it should be to the bottom of the cartilage, not the bottom of the earlobe, because the earlobe, if you go and look at the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Chachamim prove that the earlobe is not halachically part of the ear, because if you're talking about an eved ivri, and right, so if he wants to stay at the after Shemitah, he has to like get his ear pierced, and it says if it was a Kohen, he would be a Baal Mum, so that's gonna be a problem. Well, if you pierce the earlobe, that's not a Baal Mum, because that's a normal thing to do. That's what everyone does. So that's not considered a Baal Mum. So it's not the earlobe. When they're talking about piercing the ear, it's anywhere else. Anywhere that's not the earlobe. Okay, so then the earlobe is not considered halachically part of the ear. And therefore, you don't have, when you're trying to be machmir for the Rivan, like the extra tzad, tachat ozen, ozen lehalacha doesn't mean bottom of the earlobe, it means bottom of the cartilage. Good. And then you have the straightforward, and then you just have the Rashi in the area in Shavuot, thank you. He just says that it's where it's at the bottom of the head. Makom chibur ha-gilgolet, where the skull connects im alechi, with the jaw. Vehem makom ha-tzta'in. So you have that entire area, and including everything on the sides. That's where Rashi, it's very clear, very straightforward. He doesn't give anything with tachat ha-ozen, never comes up. He says it's at the bone. Where on the bone? It makes the most sense to me, because any one of these shitos that you look at, they all say, when they talk about the bone, they all say it's tachat, it's where the jaw connects. So if it's where the jaw connects, the bone itself is actually fused to the skull. It's not a part of the jaw. So it would make sense that, the part that's the head is part of the peat ha'osh, and everything below that is the peat ha'zakan. That thing, I think, makes the most sense. But Rav Moshe also has a good psak where he says that it's where when you're prepubescent, it's where your hair stopped growing until Because everything after that, once you hit puberty, everything after that is your beard. The problem is if you go to a barber that you never met before, he didn't know you as a child, he doesn't know where that was. And you're not going to go bring in a picture of you at 7 years old and say, ah, figure out based on this picture when I was tiny, figure it out. So it's not going to work out so good. So it's probably best to stick with the bottom of the bone, and you don't have to worry about Rav Moshe. It's going to hit all the shitot, and you'll be fine. When speaking to Shmuel Kamenetsky, he says that, oh, you're sadly, if you do that, he wasn't exactly sure, because Rav Moshe, right, again, he makes it much harder. Rav Willig says that's also with the color, where your beard changes color, is that's also going to be a Rav Moshe, because the beard hair's color is based on it being a beard, not the head hair. Very good. And when it comes to the top line, because any boundary is not just the bottom line, it's also the top and the sides. Well, Rashi already said it's all along the entire sides. So okay, so between the bottom line and the top line, everything in between along the entire hairline is going to be a sore. Where's the top line? Rav Belsky has from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, pretty straightforward. It says it's from the temple point to the top of the arch over the ear. Okay, in a curved line between the two. Okay, and the idea is this: is it actually goes according to the Rivan. Sorry, back in Makot, one Dibur HaMaskil earlier saying Bitzado Ozin Milifanov Makom She Beluzin. It says in Old French Temple, that it's by the temple. So you take that whole area and you go parallel to that. That's where we're going to make it. That it's going to be the Makom HaPeis. And every single shita agrees that it goes to the top of the arch, and so therefore, okay, top of the arch to the temple point, and everything between that small curve, perfect. That's Rebelsky. That means that if you're ever going to be doing any edging, someone's going to start changing the shape over here. They're going to start making it nice and clean. If they cut any of those hairs off, that's asur. You're going to now start like having it, then they're going to be changing your hairline, which the whole mitzvah, right? They said that it's lo takifu, is you can't round the peah, that you're starting to change that hairline. You're now rounding the corner. The same thing goes over the ear. It only matters for the first half because the makom peah stops at the top, but that entire front half, they're going to start changing that curve. They're now going to be cutting off the peyot, and that's going to be an isur d'oraita, and that's going to be something that's really, really important because it's not paid attention to at all. You say to the bone, even if you say bottom of the bone, even if you say to the bottom of the ear, if they're going to start changing the hairline all the way over your ear or towards the front, or they're going to start edging all over the to change the entire shape of that front corner, that's going to be chopping off your peyos, and that's really a problem.
What is changing the, like for example, you have hair, a little bit hair here.
Yeah.
Cutting here, is that changing?
So if it's inside the hairline, so Rav Leibowitz, Rav Ari Leibowitz, he made his own inyan that he says makes sense, that it's outside the hairline, right? Like maybe you have like a hair like on your forehead, that's not part of your peyot avosh. It's clearly outside the hairline, therefore it's not part of the peyot. It's now just its own single hair. Okay. Same thing with your eyebrows, like it that's fine. He says that's from his own svara, it makes perfect sense, like it doesn't make any sense. But when it comes to within the makom, if you cut two hairs off at the root, it doesn't matter, asur. It's an isur d'oraita, and that's straight up a problem. You can't do that. If you want to make it, so we're going to talk about the requirements of the length in a second, and it'll take 2 seconds hopefully, but that the cutting off the hairs completely for sure is going to be violating, and you have all those people that want to make the nice clean lines, make it square, right? As like whatever the new hip thing is, you're going to start cutting off the peyot avosh, and it's really going to be a problem. What's up?
A lot of people like that I know, like they like wax all sorts of like here. Is there any issues with that? Or?
So waxing is a separate issue, which is going to be Masa Isha. So the issue is that if it's something that a woman would normally do for her own hygienic needs, so that whether that's waxing a mustache or facial hair, or if that's plucking eyebrows or plucking out gray hairs, all of that is Ma'ase Isha and should be avoided. It's not like, Rav Chaim Kanievsky didn't like men wearing watches because it's like a bracelet and that's Beged Isha. This is considered a standard throughout Halacha. It's not just a one-off opinion. And so it should be avoided. if it's something that's done normal in society, not like, oh, in like the super whatever part of society, the super wacky places, this is what they do. They get 12 piercings and they get a nose ring that like, and they get those gauges that expand your ear to be the size of a watermelon. That's not normal society. Regular society, if people start waxing, then talk to your local Orthodox rabbi, but I would say that that's more likely to be mutan. Good? Great.
People that have, like, the hairs kind of, like, at the bottom of their pais,
mm-hmm.
If you have, like, a high beard or whatever that kind of is in that pais area, is that part of the pais, or is that...
So, if you have a high beard that's going to the bottom of the bone, mm-hmm. then, yeah, you definitely do. If you want to make it look slimmer, you're going to have to leave some hair over. You can't give it a 100% zero cut. We'll discuss, like, literally in a second. As soon as we're done with the questions of this piece, we'll go through and talk about what is considered cutting the hair. But yeah, if it's within the makom, you're going to have to take care of that.
That's different than having like hairs on your forehead that you could cut off.
Right. So I would say that is a part of it, because it's as long as it's within the hairline. Mm-hmm. If it seems like it's one piece, if it's one mass. So you taking like, oh, well, just that first hair in that mass, it's technically one hair away from everything else. It's still a part of the general hairline. Yeah.
So, like, what about, like, cutting off, like, hair, like, over here? So, like, something like that, so, like, you have hair, like, over here, like, cutting, like, what?
So, what you're describing is how to go over your ear?
Or, like, even, like, I mean, is there, let's say, first of all, just, like, over here, stam, like, on, like, is over here, like, is that, like... Like, I'm like not like.
Is that
not,
okay? Is this like, okay? Okay.
Let's say like
this is the thought experiment. Ready?
Yeah.
Is it in between this line and this line? Yeah. Yes or no? In between where my finger is here and my finger is here. Is it in between those two?
Yes.
Okay. And is it within the hairline between those two? Meaning it's not just a single hair like in the middle of your ear.
No.
So then it's a problem. Don't cut it. If it's a part of your hairline, then you can't cut it between those two points. But we're going to talk about how you can trim them, how you can take care of them in a second, once we're done with the questions. But, yeah.
When you say don't cut, you just mean don't cut the root, but you can shorten it, right?
You can trim it. We'll discuss what that means when we're done with the questions. I feel like I'm saying that a lot. Maybe I should finish it and then take the questions. Yeah, probably. Okay. So yeah, let's talk about what does it mean to trim the Be'al Tavosh. So the general consensus is as follows. There's two shitot on what is mutar within the Makom HaPeot. There is Tosfot and the Rambam. So Tosfot says that Misparim Kein Tar is Asul, and but he says it within the Peot HaRosh. But he doesn't say that there has to be any minimum length. Anything above that is totally fine. You can chop it off whatever you want. Okay? I'll get to what the definitions of the lengths are in a second, but we're just talking about the halakha. What are the terms they're using? So, Misparim Kein Tar, Asul, you can't do that. It means that that literally translates to scissors that have the outcome of a shaver. The Rambam says it's mutar, but this is where the definitions get all wonky. The Rambam in Hilchot Nezirut, he discusses saying that, oh, Misparim Kein Tar is, by definition, is Rosh HaAlikao, is anything less than Rosh HaAlikao, which means that the tip of the hair can be folded over to its root. Okay? And so anything that's less than that is considered Misparim Kein Tar. So he's saying that, oh, when the Rambam is saying that you can use Misparim Kein Tar, he means that you should be getting a size 2. That's what he's talking about. That a size 2 is what you're allowed to use. He's not talking about doing a zero cut mamish anywhere. That's not what he's mamash. That's not what he's referring to. That's not what's going on when the Rambam is saying Misparim Kein Tar is mutar. And the Tosafot is saying that the outcome is going to be mamash a zero. So therefore, I know it's hard. It's not my fault. Okay, I grew up both. It's not my fault. Okay, so he's saying that it's completely a zero according to Tosafot. So no matter what, you can't do a zero, because the Ramban says that you have to leave a little length, and Tosavot says that if you cut it all off, then it's going to be a problem. Okay, good. So you definitely can't cut to a zero. So what can you do? So it seems that according to either one, if you leave a little bit, right, then it's going to be okay. The Rambam says anything that's less than a size 2 is mutar, and Tosavot says that you need to leave enough that it's still considered there. And Rav Shechter said it's enough that when I spoke to him, he quoted, I think, the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. I'm saying that it's enough that they have to be able to grasp the hair with your fingernails. So that's about a size half, okay? Which is 1/16 of an inch, or about 2 millimeters. 1.5, 2 millimeters.
Okay.
Size half is okay. Done.
Really?
Yeah. Good.
Lefi the Rambam
also. Rambam says that Mispram Kentar was mutar. He says that Mispram Kentar is anything shorter than a size 2. Or 1.5, depending on whatever. But he said that that it can be shorter. Oh, how much shorter is the question? The answer is that it should still be there. So it's probably going to be maybe a size 1, according to the Rambam. Okay. Because some people say that the Rosh Ali Karo is really 5 millimeters, so it's in between, a 1.5 and a 2. Whatever, it's right around there. So you can do a little bit shorter than that, according to Rambam. So on top of that, then the Chazanish came up with a new definition, saying that, to be extra machmir, we should be machmir on both sides, right? We said that you definitely can't cut off to a zero, because then that means that you're playing mekel to both sides. So the Chatam Sofer said that, best thing that we should do is that we should hold like Tosfot and say you can't use Misparim Kentar. And what should we do? We should use the Rambam's version of Misparim Kentar, his definition. And so there he's going to be in Machmir in both directions. And so therefore, that the general community has agreed that, okay, we should do a size about 1.5 to a 2, size 5 millimeters, depending on who you're talking to. If you're a Sfaradi, if you have thicker hair, more likely you're going to have to use a longer length, just because thicker hair is harder to fold over, so you're probably going to have to do a size 2. If you have really thin, super, super fluffy light hair, so that hair probably more towards a 1.5 would be okay, according to the Chatam Sofer. Rav Ovadia said that it is a good thing for us to follow. So it's not just the Ashkenazim that have accepted it, but also the Sfaradim have generally accepted it as well. But that is the general halakha when it comes to Peot HaRosh. Any questions before we get on to Peot HaZakan?
Halakha Maisa, what's the number?
Halakha Maisa, bare minimum, size half, don't do it. You cannot use your electric shaver on your head. If you go too high, if you start using your electric shaver and you go onto the bone or above the bone, Isodoraita. You go to your barber, they start changing that hairline shape, Isodoraita. What?
The bone's not like one exact spot on your head. The bone's kind of like this round. You feel it.
Correct. Go to the bottom of it.
So no more than the bottom?
Go to the bottom. Nah, that's the jawbone. I'm not talking about the mandible. I'm talking about the zygomatic arch. Different one. Different bone. Feel the bone. And go like this. The only time it starts curving down is pretty much after your beard line, where it starts going and really turning into an arch, turning into your cheekbone. Good? Everyone playing around with their faces.
Yeah, trying to find
a point where the bone isn't there.
So the bone is fused to the skull. So it goes from here all the way across, so it goes into your cheekbone. To really feel it, go to your cheekbone, feel the hard part, like the big pointy piece of your cheek.
Oh, that's
go to the bottom of it and just follow it back up to your ear.
Okay, I see.
That's your bone.
All right, there you go.
We're not talking about the jaw, like this thing that's moving.
I don't know what we're talking about, to be
honest. Okay, we'll talk. We'll come over afterward. We'll discuss.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
A lot of barbers, some of them have different. I don't know how to explain it, but a 1 by 1 barber might be half by another barber, or 1.5 by another barber, because it seems like there might be differences between a metal clipper or rubber clippers, or just the way they do it. It could fall out to be differently.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know then?
So I would say this, is that if you hold by the 1.5 or the 2 that of the Chatam Sofer, you're 100% going to be within the bounds of the baseline that is of all the Rishonim. Literally, before the Chatam Sofer, it was not a shita. It was like no Rishon mentions doing a size 2 or anything longer than that. This is not that specifically comes from him.
But let's just say if you want like, the one way.
Then I recommend doing a size 2. The real issue is this: is that the universal standard for sizes is 1/8 of an inch per size. So when you get a size 1, that's 1/8 of the length of hair will be will be 1/8 of an inch.
In America.
In Israel too. I bought my first shaver in my first trimmer when I was doing it in yeshiva. I got it in Meir Sharim, and it was the same thing. It had like all the markings on the side. It's a little bit more than 3 millimeters is per size. So it may be in European factories that don't want to switch over to imperial units. Could be that they're going by 3 millimeters. If you get a size 1.5, that's gonna be 4.5 millimeters. So get a 2, and that'll be 6 millimeters, and you'll be yotzei either way. If you get a size 2, you should be covered by all the shitot. If you notice that by wherever you're going, it's that whatever, maybe they've used the same machine or the same guard for the last 70 years of them being a barber. Okay, so maybe it wore down a little bit, and then so there, because it's hit 7,000 people's heads in the last year. Okay, maybe a problem. But in that case, I would say, okay, then go a half size up, and you should be okay. If you notice it's a problem, if you're trying to be extra machmir, then put a little extra length, and you should be okay.
Those are just contemporary postgame, a half or 1.5?
Contemporary postgame say it's better for the general kila has accepted that we should do the size 1.5, and it's better for you to do. But if you see someone wearing a size half, they're completely within their rights to do so, and they're good and they're fine and it's all good. The real problem is the big thing in Israel and all these other places that want to look like Vin Diesel. Everyone's shaving their heads completely bald. They're like, oh, I'm going up here. Might as well go everything. Why not? And they start shaving off the sides of the head. That's really the problem is you're gonna have these people that are gonna shave off their whole peyote and they're gonna leave. They're gonna be like, oh, see, look, I live a little bit on the bone. It's okay. It's fine. Well, there's a whole top of the peyote that are completely getting ripped off, and it's completely that's really a problem. Yeah.
What about hair replacement surgery?
You know, now, go find a rabbi. That's really the question. I don't know. Like, you're saying that if you get hair from like your arm, a skin from your arm, and you put it on the side of your face, you're saying like, oh, how does the hairline work for that?
No, basically like for you, like if you're losing hair, like if you're losing hair on top of you and you feel like you're going bald, instead of like people saying, oh, I want to shave everything, like say I want to put artificial hair on it, would that be like a
you can do that. I mean, like assuming you're willing to say that plastic surgery is mutar. To say for shiduchim, I know that there's various shayos and shuas from various rabbanim that say that it's okay for dating if you're getting older and you're feeling like you're not going to be able to get a shiduch in your hair and you think it's because you look ugly. Okay, get yourself some plastic surgery. Potentially that's a way to make a mutar, but that's not within the scope of peyot rosh, just because that's your not these.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's. I would say find your local Orthodox rabbi, who is more knowledgeable on the subject than I.
Yeah.
That is my best guess, on the fly.
Apologies, I think really highly of you.
Thank you, I appreciate it. See how it says Rabbi Chaim and yes. Binyamin Jackson. I'm not a rabbi.
Okay.
That's okay. I've looked into this topic a lot. I'm very knowledgeable in this. Go find a rabbi outside of that, and I think you'll be okay. As it comes to Peot HaZakan. Any questions on the Peot HaRosh anymore? Okay, good. So when it comes to the beard, so the beard is a completely different beast. Because if you remember the original pasuk that we quoted, so what does it say, right? We can't round the corners of the head. But then it specifically uses the word velo tashchit. You cannot destroy the corners of your beard. Okay, well, we just defined, we spent this whole time trying to figure out where's the makom peyot, right? For the peyot rosh. So let's start off with, okay, where's the makom peyot of the beard? Okay. Real quick question. Try to find 5 points or corners on your face. Everyone agrees on this one. All the Shitot agree. This is one. This is a Pe'an. Now, figure out where's the other 4. Okay. It's a big machloket. Some options are the corners of your jaw down here, and some say it's at the bottom of the peyot rosh. Okay, that's where the peyot hazakan start. That's the other corner. Also, some shitot, right? We found the points of our cheekbones right before. That's also potentially going to be a point because those are kind of pointy. That might be a corner. Others say the corners of the mustache. And the answer is that there's so many different shitot that are going along with the peyot hazakan that we, in general, the halakha has declared when we get to Shulchan Aruch. What does it say? We just hold the entire face. We're not going to start playing these games trying to figure out where is the makom. Like there's too many shitot. We don't know which one's right. We don't have a misorah trying to declare where is any of these things. Like when we were talking about the peyot hazakan, right? I gave you Rav Belsky shita. Okay, you want to be some machmir to the Chazon Ish, which is the other sheet that we have. It will go from the temple instead of from the temple point, it will go from the part down to that same point over the ear. Okay, slightly different, but it's either way. Most of the shaping and most of the issues that you're going to be having are going to be covered under the same halakha. When it comes to the places where on your face, we have no actual consensus at all of where the makom is. So the general halakha, poskim have accepted, it's going to be your entire face. Everything that is below whatever you consider peyot arosh is going to be, and if you're going to be, you have to be machmir in both directions though. Wherever it is, it's going to have to be that you can't do hashchatan. You can't destroy that beard, and we'll get to what that means in a minute. Yeah.
If let's say, like if you were following the shita, mm-hmm. is it saying that you can't cut the spots, or it's saying anything in the middle of the spots? Like if let's say the corners was like your mustache and here, whatever, is mm-hmm. that just gonna be like this area you're not allowed to cut, or like the actual like?
You corner? Can hold by a single shita.
I'm saying if let's say you did. Is it saying like everything
if you did, then every Rav would say, I do not accept. I'm not taking on this this guy. He's doing his own thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu, do not make me liable.
No
Rav is going to accept
it. My question is it between the corners or is it only the corners?
It would be at the corners, and it's also hard. The real question is that what point is a corner a corner? Say this is the page. Is this the corner of the page? Is this the corner of the page? Is this the corner of the page? What's the corner of a page? Okay, so it's hard to define. Where's the corner of your beard? Is it the corner of your chin? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? I don't know. So we don't have a misogra for it. Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So like it being, meaning you can't use your razor for your entire face. Face. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you bring up a good point. You get into the segment of a razor. Why is specifically a razor a problem? So the Gemara discusses. Saying that the Gemara in Makot, what is it? It's saying that what is the definition of hashchasa, hashchatan? What's the definition of destruction of the beard? So it says that you cannot use a towel, you can't use a razor, because by doing that, it's going to destroy the hairs. Okay, good. And then it says, okay, well, the Gemara then brings various other cases. Well, what about misbalaim kentan? What happens if it's a scissors? It says that scissors are entirely mutal according to the Gemara. Then the Gemara then asks, okay, what about Misbraim Kental? What happens if there's scissors that are Ke'ain, which is, we'll get to what Ke'ain means, but it's similar to, is the direct translation of, or like, a tar that has that's similar to a razor. Is that mutal? The Gemara says, yes. Okay, and it says, what happens if you have a wood plane? Okay, a wood plane is you have this little, like they have a little thing that you hold. It's called a shoe, and you put inside of it a file, not a file, a plane. That's what it is. It's a plane. It's a little piece of metal that's very sharp, and you basically have that shoe on the bottom is flat, and so you have just a little bit, the little edge of the plane that's sticking out, and so you can run it along the wood, and it'll make it that it's perfectly smooth and perfectly flat. That's why it's called planing, because it's perfectly flat. Good. So that is a very nice sharp piece of metal. Can you use that to put on your face? Can you use it to get a nice clean shave? The answer is, according to the Gemara, mutal. Why? because there's two things that are required for it to be asur for shaving, and that is that it needs both hashchata and giluach. It has to be destruction of the hair, meaning with a single blade, and also giluach. It has to be actually shaving. It has to be a normal way to shave. No one's going and taking out their wood plane and starting to like shave their face with something that's not actually meant to be put on someone's face. It's not a thing. It's not normal. So in that circumstance, so the Gemara says that's completely mutal. Okay. So it also works the other way. Why is the Misparim Kein Tar mutal? Why is the scissors okay? Because while it's true, it is giluach. Electric shavers, completely, totally normal. Everyone uses them. And even so, even if you don't, regular, there are pruning shears. There are things, the normal things that people are using as like for cutting their hair and cutting their beards. And those, why are they mutal? Because they're not doing hashchasa. They're not destroying the hair. What they're doing is actually they're crushing the hair between the two pieces. You have two blades that are coming together and squeezing it together. And only once it crushes the hair together, then it gets cut. Okay, so there's a difference between the crushing and the hashchasa, and that's why it's mutal according to the Gemara. According to most poskim, the Rama has a specific variant saying that no, it's because you have the top blade is at least the bottom blade's width off of the face. The problem is, what happens if the bottom blade is the sharper one? So it's hard to read into the Rama, but some people want to be choshesh for that because they want to. But there's no real need to. It's pretty straightforward in the Gemara as the reason why, as this is the reason why for Misparim to be mutal. Okay, so we say we can't do it anywhere on the face. And we say that the outcome specifically has to be with a razor. Okay. So it's this whole question of Misparim Kein Tar. So the issue with Misparim Kein Tar is that it comes from the definition of what is Ke'ain. What is Ke'ain? Ke'ain just seems to be like, it is like a tar, it is like a razor, that the outcome is going to be the same. That seems to be what it is. But then, the Chatam Sofer coming in again, just for the extra chumrot, as well as the Chazon Ish. They say no. If it meant it that it was going to be the exact same, it would have used the term kitar. Bob Kain, we added extra three letters and a space. Oh man, that means it's similar to. It's not quite. You have to leave some stubble. And there's some guy in Beit Shemesh who sells. He wrote a sefer on the whole topic, and then he now sells little caps that you can put onto your shaver to be exactly 0.56 millimeters off your face when you shave, because he wants to be choshesh for the Chatam Sofer and the Chazon Ish. That's fine. You can say that the electric shavers are asur. I don't have anything to say against them. I don't. Those are very fine shittas, but as you look at my face, it's pretty good. It's pretty clean shaven. Shaved, yes. What's today?
I don't know.
March. Okay, I saved. Thank you. I shaved Erev Shabbat, the fourth Shabbat, and therefore, nice and smooth. Great. So why can I do that? Because all the shitot that pretty much accept Misparim Kein Tar say that all electric shavers are motal. Oh, what do you mean? I heard that lift and cut is bad. Oh, what are you saying? The one blade's bad. No. Stop. Calm down. Let's go and talk about why all these extra things that people like to add on as chumrot, why they don't really make sense, why they don't work, and why really electric shavers as a whole, if you hold that they are mutal, all of them are mutal. If you hold they are asu, they're all asu. Done. Okay? That's how we're going to conclude at the end of all this. So, yeah, it's good. I agree.
Yeah. It's good. Oh, sorry, I thought you were ending.
No. I'm going to say we're going to get there. When we get there, that's going to be the final chat. We'll get there. Don't worry. It's okay. So, how are we going to get there? I spent the time going through the patents starting from the first electric shavers until we get to nowadays. They all reference the first patent. They all of them. You go for Braun, you go Philips and Ralco, you go to any of these places, Gillette. Every single electric shaver that's on the market nowadays, and I've spoken to the engineers at Philips and Ralco, I've spoken to the engineers at Procter & Gamble, I've spoken to the engineers at Braun. though one of them, Bron was not so interested in actually having a lengthy conversation. They're like, they're all good, it's fine. I mean, they didn't say that. They basically answered a question, but they kind of ghosted us. Whatever. Point is that all of them say that they're using the same patents. It's the way that these machines are meant to work is via scissors. It's using scissor action. It's not trying to be a razor. Oh, they put more RPMs in there every year, and it starts getting faster and faster. Okay. You want to start going to that? The Philips Norelco is very, very kind. And they this was over COVID, so they didn't physically sit down, but they gave to us, the first time they sat down with any Rabbanim was in 2001 with Rav Rozan of Trumin, in Alon Shvut, and they sat down, and he went to their factory in, like, Norway, or Sweden, one of those, and you know what I'm talking about, Norwegian states, whatever it is. So he went up there, and they basically brought him through the factory, showed him how the physics work, how it all breaks down. They showed him a video, and he put that video. It's still out on YouTube. It's just very, very hard to see what's going on. That it looks, there's, because it's so old, it has like one frame gap between what we really needed to see. But it was enough to convince Rav Rozan that they were mutal. And the engineers also thought, they were like, yeah, it works via scissors. See the video. And then he's like, yeah, but it's a little... And I'm saying it's a little ambiguous because I now have wonderful videos from Philips Norelco when we got them in 2020. And these videos, we're not allowed to share them because China might take the information from them, use them to manufacture their own, and there's no copyright laws there. So the Philips Norelco did not allow us to publicly disseminate these. We are allowed to show them to people individually. We're just not allowed to send any pictures around. We're not allowed to send any videos. If you would like to see it specifically, we can try to like set up a time like that. I can have a projector and everyone puts their phones away and we can make that all happen. Just as a more of an ad hoc share, I can't just do that, especially now with just Windows abound. I'm not even joking. We said, hey, can we put this in our book? We want to like put still shots. This is like important information. And they're like, no. Like they're like, first they said, I don't see why not. I'll ask legal. And then I came back and they're like, legal said don't do that. I shouldn't have given these to you. They're already sent. Don't do it. Okay, we're good. So, but it's really good actually that we didn't anger them, because since then we've gone back to them after our discussions with other Rabbanim, with more engineering questions, and they've been very, very happy to respond to us. So I have a very good working relationship with the engineers at Philips Norelco, with the wonderful names of Og Smedinga and Martin Van Veen. Those are the two engineers that we spoke to. They're great. So what we get from all this is that every single electric shaver in the modern time, and according to Philips Norelco, the next two generations that are still in their development, they're in their research and development teams, all use the same patents. You're going to be good for the next 5 years, like assuming that nothing completely mind-blowing changes that completely throws the entire electric shaver world like upends it. We're going to be fine. Who cares? Like, it's all going to be the same. It's all the same mechanism. It's all the same patents. It all works the exact same way. The videos are very clear. It shows very clearly that there's a hair that is sitting there in the middle of the shaver. It gets pushed into the screen, and then the blade that's moving plus the still screen squeezes the hair, and that's what cuts it. It's very, very clearly a scissor action. It's two blades. Oh, the lift and cut. Oh, the lift is going to make it worse because nothing. The lift is a softer metal. It's made out of copper. It's not made out of steel. The actual cutting blades are made out of steel. The softer blade, what it does is it gets stuck in the hair because it's too soft. It can't go all the way through. And because it's softer, it actually bends back. But as the blades go forward, as it's bending back, so it actually pulls it inward, which is a great because it's at an angle. And by pulling it inward, that by the time the cutting blade comes forward, it's actually pulled the hair up just a little bit. So that way, when the cutting happens, it gives you, instead of it being a zero cut, it will give you a -1 cut. And that's going to make it even smoother. It's going to be like even more amazing than a regular shaver. But even so, all this, the way this all plays out is that, oh wow, this took a long time. We'll go longer, however long you guys want to go. But point is that all the electric shavers, they all work the exact same way. Every single one of them, they all have the exact same patent. The only reason why the people say that the one blade is scary, woo, heebie-jeebie, is because they're like, it looks kind of like a regular cartridge razor. It has the long skinny neck and that square top. And that's scary looking because I've seen those things in the drugstore. Bad. But the actual mechanism, it even leaves a little bit more of a stubble. So even like according to someone like Rav Avadia is a dat yachid when it comes to Sfaradim. He says that that you should be leaving a little bit of extra stubble. But the problem is that Rav Ben Sion Shaul and you have Rav Mazuz and you have Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. All of them say that it's completely mutar to use the electric shaver. Especially Rav Avadia even said that when it comes to dates, that like therefore okay, if it's going to cause problems, it's going to be fine. You have what to rely on. So no matter what, that'll be fine. And people that say that to hold by Rav Avadia, you have to remove the lift blade out of your shave. You have to break it off, and then you have to lightly touch it to your face. Because if you leave it too long, it'll give you still a zero. It'll still give you a zero without the lift. So it's going to still be a problem for those shitot. So if that's so, then they're all asur or they're all mutar because they all use the same technology. It all works the same way. It's all the same. Any questions on that before we go to Hashkafah? Nice. That's good. That means that we did a good job. Oh, one. Okay.
Do you have the names of the lift shavers?
Philips Norelco Rotary.
Shave might want to use one of those guys.
Yeah, Philips Norelco, they use anything that says Philips Shave, I believe is their
Philips Shave.
Philips Shave is I believe their term for the fancy lifting cut. Philips Norelco. Personally I would say anyone asks me like for recommendations, I say Philips Norelco because they were by far the nicest to helping us out. They're the ones that, despite it being like, okay, legal troubles, even so, they're still giving us questions. They're still answering our questions. They're still having a good contact with us. They're really helping like the Jewish community out where we needed them. And so it's very, very appreciative. And I will gladly like say that until something changes, keep getting from them. They're by far the nicest to helping Klal Yisrael, I would say. So use their Philoshave. Whatever, just make sure that you actually see that it says Philips Shave because they do have non-lift and shave series runs.
Does it change? Does it change if you like add water to if you put water on top of the shaver? Because I noticed that basically whenever I put water on it,
mm-hmm.
it shaves much more effectively than the shaver without it. Is that a difference or is it or no?
So when I first had this question actually. Good question. I first had that question initially when I was going through Halacha 24/7/12 by Rabbi Ari Marcus of Yeshivat Beishit. Beishit Yerushalayim, is that the official name? Whatever it is. So, and in his sefer, he specifically talks about shaving cream. He says that if using electric shaver hurts your skin and it makes it all red, just use shaving cream and that'll be fine. And I said, oh, well, the whole thing that we're saying, that actually the engineers, I didn't give the numbers, but basically you need 1,000 times more force, right, to be able to cut using the blades that they have to cut with the spinning blade based on the angle that they have it in, because they care about the longevity of their blades. Because no one, do you go and sharpen your shaver blades? I've had the same shaver blade since at my bar mitzvah. I recently just changed it because the battery died and couldn't use it completely. So I actually really funny. I got a new shaver. I took my old blades, put them on the new shaver because I felt they did a nicer job. They just felt nicer on my skin. So like they work the same. They work the same way. It's been forever. No one has to sharpen them because they work like a scissors. They're meant to last. Compared to cartridge razors, which everyone's spending like hundreds of dollars a month just because they're a very, very thin, sharp angle, and therefore they're they will cut on their own, but they're much more prone to break because they're such a they're much more prone to dull because they're such a thin blade with such a slight angle. So the question. So I said, okay, well, softening the hair using the shaving cream or using water will make it that it's better. And he said, and instead of it just moisturizing the skin, which is going to be helpful for making the it feel better and cut better. But also maybe it'll soften the hair enough that that the blade will be able to cut on its own. And we asked the engineers, and the engineers said, no, it's not going to soften nearly enough. To get 1,000 times more of force or to reduce the amount by 1,000 times is not possible, with how electric shavers work, with how they currently stand. Shaving cream does not reduce it nearly enough. Completely fine. It's completely mutal to use water. It doesn't. Well, it might make the outcome nicer, just because now the hair has either a little bit of static, which is what the product Electric Shave, makes the hair stand on end, so they stick out of your face better. So that way they fit into the electric shaver much better. But it does not change the actual halakha.
One more question. I'm sorry. What if, like, if you notice that basically after the shave, you notice that your shaver is like you're shaving well, but the problem is there's sometimes a little cut.
So if there's a little cut, so I would say there's one of two things. Either you're pressing too hard on your shaver, so you're actually squeezing your skin into the machine. Mm. We had this discussion. It comes up in the critiques of the second edition. And we discussed this with the engineer. He said that if you have thinner skin, usually with older people they have it. I also have relatively stretchy skin, so thinner skin that more easily to stretch. If you press hard onto your face, it'll actually have your skin seep in and potentially get nicked by the blades. So don't press as hard. And also, secondly, it also might mean that your machine. Over time, you're Svaradi, so your beard hair nice and thick. Oh, amazing! I wish I could do that. So the screen might actually be starting to wear away, making the gaps slightly wider as they wear away. And so potentially you'd be looking into getting new screens, which are like 10, 15 bucks on Amazon.
Okay.
So I would say potentially if try doing lighter. If not, then just get replacement screens. You should be okay.
Right.
Yeah. Any other questions on shavers? Good. So the Hashkafa question when it comes to this, and we have the whole postscript at the end of the Sefer. This is the ugly one before we got it all nice and printed for the second edition. This is just for us to make notes in for any edits that needed to be done. The whole postscript we go through and try to understand how the halakha works in our lives, because for us to understand why Hashem wants us to do this mitzvah is very interesting. The Rambam, in a rare occasion in Mishnah Torah, he actually gives a reason for this halacha, and he says it's because, and if you ever seen a picture of a friar, the pagan priests, they used to have haircuts that would basically cut off everything from this place down. And that's according to, especially according to the Chatam Sofer, that's the Makom HaPeyot that we have to keep, is dafka to go against the idolaters. Okay. But in general, we have a lot of halachot that are very minute, that seem to be strange, or who cares, or why is Hashem paying attention to me clipping my toenails or whatever other things that I have to put on a specific shoe first, I have to tie it in a different way. Why all these different pieces that all come together? Why does Hashem care? And first of all, there's a question of self-esteem there. That if you are like Hashem's child, why would he not be paying attention to you? Why would he not be caring what you're doing? When it comes to your appearance, why would he not want you to look good? Why would, like, he is the objective standard of what is looking good? What he's defining it. And you're going to start changing it around because you're being the rebellious child. Why? He clearly cares. The fact that you think that he doesn't care is something that... Not saying that any of you would say that he doesn't care. I'm saying that if one were to question that, that it's really to say that no, he cares about you. He's your father. Like if your child starts looking like a Vilde Chaya at some point, how do you say Vilde Chaya in Hebrew? With Israeli,
Bema.
Bema Bayav. Wow. Okay. So Chaya Bayav, a behema is domesticated. Oh, they're groomed. They're nice. They're pretty. So, whatever. So, I'm sorry for the old spot. So, you don't want your kid to be looking like a slob. You don't want him to do that. You're gonna try to put them in the right direction. So, same thing. We have a very caring father. But in general, when it comes to the halakha, there's a constant diminishing throughout the ages. We quote three or four places throughout the Gemara that discusses that throughout the Dorot, the connection to Hashem is constantly reducing, and therefore we have to find Hashem in the world. So it talks about, when it comes to the Gemara Shabbat, so it talks about how, because we have to dafka recognize Purim, right? That we compare it to say that to Matan Torah, where it was so clear Hashem was there, and we are comparing it to now saying, oh, that we have to find Hashem even when He's not even written in the entire Sefer, but Hashem is really there moving everything around when it comes to Megillat Esther. As well as Bava Metzia, we talk about where, right, the Chachamim are questioning with Rabbi Elazar, and there's a Bat Kol saying that Rabbi Elazar is correct. And they say no, right? That it's all about what's happening here. It's about how we as the Chachamim understand the halacha. That's more important, because even that our connection to the Torah and how we understand it is how we're going to form and how we're going to build and how we're going to grow. And then finishing off here with the Avodah Zarah, Masechet Yoma, when Hashem destroyed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, that a lion had run out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, saying, which was signifying that for Hashem to reduce the amount of Yetzer Hara within our hearts, He also had to reduce His clear establishment within the world. And so when we're saying, like, oh, why is this, why do we care about these little things, why does it make a difference? It's saying, oh, it's just a half an inch higher, it looks so much prettier, everyone likes it this way. It's really understanding, first of all, he is your father, he cares about what you look like, he cares about what's going on, but also that you should care, because he is giving you little ways throughout your day, throughout your life, to being able to make a connection with you. That that it's going to be something that okay, maybe on a regular standard day, if you don't pay attention, you think that you're not doing many mitzvot. But really, every little thing you have, every time food, every time that you go through a door, you have the mezuzah there to dafka remind you. You have this is the story of not the story, the idea from the Ravs, from a halachic man, that halachic man sees the world not like as a physical world, but rather each piece is I can't do that because it's an Isra, I can do that because it's a mitzvah, I can do this because it's going to be a hechsher for a mitzvah. And every single thing, the way that the halachic man sees the world, he doesn't see ants on walking along the street on Shabbat. He sees little red averot, do not step on the ants walking along the floor. That's what he sees. That's halachic man. And so that's the ideal of where we would go to, that if we understand that we have this connection throughout our lives, throughout our days, that's what we should be paying attention to when it comes to this halacha and all the halachot that we have. Chazak. Adkan, as they say.